And let's all stand on our feet. We're going to pick things up in verse 1 and just read on a few verses. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls all of them by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to come before such a mighty, powerful God, a God that is real, a God that is presently, currently. And we pray that you would meet with us here, Lord. Speak to us as we've worshiped you, saying, because you are holy, Lord, we ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts to see you more clearly. Give us clean hands and pure hearts, that we may receive all that you have for us this evening. I pray that the topic you have for us this evening, that you would just speak it clearly through me, that I'd be filled with your spirit, that we would all be filled with you to receive it and to apply it, not just to our brains, but also to our lives, living differently by what we learn about you. And we pray that you would be glorified through this teaching and through the way that we receive it and listen to it and apply it to our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So like we did last week, I want to get things started with a question. And you can raise your hand or you can just shout out. I don't mind. Here's the question. How would you describe God? How would you describe God? What'd you say?
Infinite.
Big. I thought you said babe. I was like, That's where you are. God. God's infinite. A babe.
Infinite.
What else? Big, infinite. Graceful? Is that what you said? Yeah, definitely. I agree. I didn't know if you said grateful or graceful, so I wanted to get it right. Anything else? How would you describe God?
Amazing.
Amazing. I dig it. Yes.
Beautiful
or wonderful?
Powerful.
Undescribable. What? Lovable. Lovable, yes. Perfect. Wait. Shh. What?
Forgiving.
Golden. Yes.
Jesus.
Jacob. Slow to anger. Ooh, we're getting specific now. Yes. Why would slow to anger? It's like.
Oh, I thought they said anger.
Patient. He. But if it is anger, it would be righteous anger. Anything else? You're biting at the bit. You're just like, oh, I want to say it, but I'm not going to. I want to, but I'm not. Yes. Holy? Yes. Holy. Good. This is awesome. Great musician or magician? Magician? Everything out of nothing. Yeah, totally. So the point that I'm kind of getting at, and I think what we're all kind of seeing, is that God is complex. And the description of God is both huge, but also a little bit confusing. And there's a lot about God that we don't know for sure. There's a whole lot that we do know for sure, but there's a lot about God that can be interpreted this way, it can be interpreted that way, it can be interpreted a few different ways. And oftentimes those interpretations, they're very similar, but they differ in a few different things. That being said, though, there are some things about God that Christians must know and believe. So for the next couple of weeks in our Essentials series, what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at descriptions of God. Descriptions of God that we need to know and that we need to believe as Christians. So since we have now looked at the fact that God is, What are some things about God that we need to know about him? What are some things that we need to believe about him? But just because we need to know these things about God, just because it's necessary for us to believe them, it does not mean that we're going to fully understand them. I'm sorry, but a lot, like, who said that God is indescribable? Yes, a lot about God is indescribable. But there's glimpses towards these descriptions of God that we need to know. And we need to not only know them, but we need to believe them. But it will require faith. It will require faith to believe. There's no way around it. Faith is so necessary and essential in the lives of Christians. And it's also going to require faith for us to believe the things that are very necessary about the aspects of God. But I think what you'll see for most of these, and so be encouraged, a lot of these are going to make sense to you, why we need to believe them. And so it will be easy for you to receive them, especially if you are able to understand that God does not exist, but God is beyond existence. God is real. God is alive, but he is even outside of or even without existence. So tonight we're going to start with looking at the divine attributes, or as I like to call them, the omnis. Dun, 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 dun. The omnis. It's a joke. Like, the omnis. Doesn't that sound like, you get an omni. This, the next omni goes to... Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why. Omnis, Grammys, that's... I didn't even know. I didn't even put that together in my head. But here's what the omnis are. These are words... Get this. These are words that are technically not in the Bible. Rather, they are words that theologians, people who study God and try to understand him, looking at the Bible and looking at the way humans have interpreted it throughout history, these are words that theologians use to encapsulate the descriptions of God that we see in the Bible. So they are not in the Bible, quoted, they're not written in the Bible, but the proof of them is all over the Bible. And omni is a Latin prefix for all. Now you know, all the mystery has been removed. Omnivore, I eat it all. You know what I'm talking about? Omnivore. Whoa, dude, you're really jumping the gun here. But yeah, that's what omni means. Omni means all. And it's important for us to know because we're going to be applying this to a lot of different words tonight. And what theologians have done is they've attached this prefix, the beginning of a word, to a whole bunch of, really just a few, different words in order to show us some essential things about God. And these, oh, I think it's going to be so good. I'm probably going to get excited tonight because this stuff will blow our minds. So I encourage you, if you get like confused, ask a question. Or if you're like, dude, what about this? Ask it, please. Like, don't be afraid if something confuses you. Ask it or remember it at least and bring it up in your small groups. Because these are important, but they are also mind-blowing. Not as mind-blowing as what we talked about last week. It'll be, like I said, everything will be easier from now on. But it's going to be good. So what we're going to do, if you're taking notes, is we're going to look at two groups of words. First, we're going to look at some omnis, and then second, we're going to look at some non-omnis.
What?
I'm like just making up my own language up here. We're going to look at some omnis, and then we're going to look at some non-omnis. Buckle up, because it's going to be crazy. If you're taking notes, we're going to look at three omnis, and then we're going to look at two non-omnis that help us understand the omnis. You tracking? Are we good? You going to take a picture of that? Oh, dude, do it. Awesome. First omni that we're going to look at is that God is omnipotent. Say that.
Omnipotent.
And here's what this means. Omni means
all.
And potent means if you walk into a room and it smells potent, then it is Like,
potent.
Oh, that's potent. Oh, that's potent.
Strong, yes, strong. That thing is strong. It stinks real bad. That is what omnipotent means. All powerful, all mighty, all strong. Yes. Yeah, that's how like the cool smart people do it, but I don't, because it's so much easier to break the word up, omnipotent. But yeah, if you want to be like British and sleek, it's omnipotent. Omnipotent. Yeah. Omnipotent. Omnipotent. Essentially what this is, it means that there is nothing that God cannot do. And what God is able to do has no limit. God can do anything beyond your imagination, beyond your comprehension, beyond what we can even think of, God can do. Psalm 147, verse 5, what we started with this morning says, or this evening, great is our Lord in mighty and power. Great and mighty in power. Job, at the end of the book of Job, he says this, speaking to God, I know that you can do anything. And no one can stop you. So we as Christians, first thing we need to know about the description of God is God is all powerful. There is nothing that God cannot do. Do you guys want to, can you turn into a mermaid? Is that what you said? Technically, yes. I mean, yeah. Do you guys want to like go on like a mind warp right now?
Yes.
Do you guys want to?
Yes.
Okay. So there's this thing called the omnipotence paradox.
No.
And this is the question that since God is all powerful, can God create something so big that God cannot move it? Just bask in that for a moment. If God is all powerful, can God create anything that is so big that he cannot move it? So here's the technical way to think about this. God can create anything, any size, huge, but God will always be able to move it. Even if he creates something after that, that's even bigger. And even if he creates something after that, that's bigger. God will always be bigger. Always. Because God is omnipotent.
What if he created something omnipotent?
Why would he create it? No, you're tracking. Yeah. If he created something that he can't move on purpose.
We need that he can't move. Like if he said, I want to make something so big I can't move it. Right. But it's a good thought.
Yeah. And I think that's gonna be answered later on.
What?
Cameron. Sure. Yeah, he totally could. What do you mean? Oh. Well, that would still be God moving it, right? Duh. That would be a question, right? If God is outside of existence, can God have a size? I would say no, because he's beyond what size can even calculate. Yes. We need a debate club at this church. I don't know about that. That's rough. Okay, so that is the first omni. God is omnipotent. What does that mean? If you ever get confused, potent, just think, oh, that stinks. And it stinks because it's so strong. And then God's all strong, powerful. Yes.
He's
No. No, I would say infinite is not a size, but that's too philosophical for me. I'm not an expert on infinite. But I keep that question because I think it will be answered as we go on. Yes. Yeah, I would say God does not have a mass. Yeah. Okay. Second omni. Can I move on to another omni? Or okay, last one. I was hoping somebody would ask that. So could God make God like himself or even someone greater than himself? No. Technically, God could create something hugely amazing and mind-boggling beyond our imagination, but God will still be greater. And what we're going to see, I don't want to give too much away, but what we're going to see is that God acts within guidelines, and I'm not going to explain it fully yet because it's going to be unfolded. I think your questions are going to be answered. So, okay, last one. Well, God could make something incredibly strong, but he would still be stronger than it, no matter what. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Nope, I'm moving on. We got to move on. Okay, second omni, two fingers. God is omnipresent. God is like a sweet little Christmas gift. Just kidding. This one is really obvious. What it means is that God is everywhere present. And that is the way we should word it. Because if we say present everywhere, that doesn't quite capture what everywhere present does. And that's going to be explained as we go through this point. So a little better. To understand this, listen to this. There is never somewhere that God is not there. There has never been and never will be somewhere that God is not there. Grooving with that? Tracking? Okay. Jeremiah 23:24 says, "Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth?" says the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 27 says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain God. How much less this temple which I have built." So get ready for this. Brace yourself. This does not mean that God is like a formless gas that takes over every space and fills it completely. Don't think of God as something that is formless that can fill everywhere. But instead, it also doesn't mean that a little bit of God is here and a little bit of God is there and a little bit of God is here and there and everywhere. The best way to think of this is that God is not limited by space. And here's what I mean by that. We can only occupy the space that we take. That's the point. we can only occupy the single space that we take. So my arm can only occupy the space that it is in currently. That's it. Because I'm bound by space. God can be in multiple places at a time. Not only that, but God is everywhere all the time. And an important distinction between this is God is not everything. So if you're like, "Oh, God's everywhere, so he's this tree. Oh Lord, you're awesome. You're so majestic and tall, rooted in the ground." Yes, I would say technically inside, but not it. That it is not God, but God occupies that space. But God is not a little bit here, a little bit there. God is not formless. God is just not bound by space. Yes. Yeah, Cameron. No. Could God make someone that could hide from him? That would be back to like the omnipotent paradox. And no, because he would always know where
they are.
He created it.
Yeah. Duh. Yeah. Yes. Totally. Yeah, certainly. Okay, go for it.
Which one's stronger, God or Jesus?
Same. Yeah, I would say same as well. But there's literally a whole teaching to answer that, so I can't. Here's a question that I thought somebody would ask, but they didn't, so I'm going to ask it. Is God in hell? Question. Amorous. Baby, she's got a verse. Wait, give her the floor. She has a verse.
Josh.
Yes. God. Okay. Listen to this, because if you hear it wrong, it will confuse you for the rest of your life. Just kidding. But seriously, listen. God is proximity, like present-wise, God is in hell. But when Jesus was crucified, God turned his face from Jesus. They were separated, but God was still present. God was there, but Jesus was no longer receiving the glory of God. Jesus was no longer basking in the grace and mercy and blessing of God. So, God is in hell, but his face is not turned to those in hell. He's there, but they are not receiving his blessing. They are not receiving his mercy. They are not communing with God as we do, receiving from him, even when we're unaware of it. They are not. But he is there. He is everywhere. There's a... He's not... Yeah. Yeah. Talk about that in your small group. I would encourage you. Yes. Yes, exactly. You can be, that was so good. You can be standing in a room, but not looking at the room. You are still there, but the room is not receiving your effects. You know, you're not affecting that room because you're not even mentally really focused on it. Is that, how are we doing with that? Good? Okay. I'm going to move on. Okay, duh. Yeah. Yes, exactly. God is not in hell and he's not of hell. I would say nothing is of hell. Hell was created as a place of punishment. And so nothing is of hell. There's Satan doesn't even rule hell. When Satan goes to hell, he's there to be punished along with everyone else. He's not like sitting on a hell throne, like punishing people. That's what we think, but it's not biblical, not true. No, we gotta move on. Bring those questions to your small group. Don't forget them. Third, omni. God is omniscient. God is omniscient. Say that, omniscient. Not Amish, omniscient. Here's what this means. So we have the prefix omni, and the suffix, this one will help you if you see it. The suffix is what?
Science!
Science! And science, don't think scientific theory, but science is just a way of knowing. So what this says is that God is all-knowing. Okay, where's the cup sound?
It's him.
Josh, no more, please. It's just distracting me so much. So, track with this. Pay attention to this. God is all-knowing. Here's what this means. There's nothing that God does not know, and there never was, and there never will be. Okay? Not too bad, right? Nothing that God will not know. There never was, and there never will be. So, God does not learn as he goes. God does not learn because, okay, here we go. At every point in time, God has always known everything that will ever be and has ever happened. Let me repeat that. At every point in time, God has always known everything that will ever be and that has ever happened. At every point in time, God has always known all of that. But let me get through these points and then I'll take your questions. But God knows so many different aspects of so much. God knows the big things. Psalm 147, the chapter that we started with this evening, verse 4 says, "He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name." Stars are big. One thing, if you don't know, stars are huge. But God knows all of them. And he has given names to all of them. No, not yet. God knows small things. Matthew 10, verse 30. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows how many hairs you have on your head. God knows personal things. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. "For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts." God knows why you do what you do. He knows what you do. He knows what you denied when you decided you would do that, and what you chose to do when you decided you would do that, and whatever else was conflicting within you while that was going on. And he always did. God knows the future. 1 Peter 1:20. "Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world to be our sacrifice." So before God even created the world, he looked at Jesus and said, "You will have to die for these people that I haven't even created yet." Let the mind blown set. Okay. Del, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I got a really good question.
Yes.
I have a question. Well, in that case, isn't it technically when the rapture's gonna happen?
Yes. Of course.
Wait.
I am not super up on that theology. I believe Jesus doesn't know and God the Father does.
Yes.
Does any leader know? I'm not sure on that. So ask me after, or ask your small group. You guys can look it up where Jesus says, Amorous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the short answer to that question is so we could choose to be in a real relationship with him. If we didn't have choice, even though he knows the choice we're going to make, and so it's strange, we have free will, but he knows the choice we're going to make, and so he's already aware, but he lets us make that choice even then. Josh.
Yeah. The tree.
Mm-hmm.
How come we didn't stop them?
Same free will question, so that we could choose love. If there was no option for us to not choose God, then is it real love? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we would all just be forced. Tacy?
So Jared doesn't want to ask.
No!
Shh, go ahead.
It hurts my brain.
But you know, like how in the Bible it says that God knows when we're going to be raptured, but Jesus doesn't. Like, does that mean like that God knows when we're going to happen?
Exactly.
We'll talk about that when we get into Trinitarian doctrine. That's so, it's so huge. Yes? The book can be in third, yeah. Wait. So, what do you mean? Yeah, because he knows all of my thoughts. Is that what you, yeah. But he still allows the characters to do what they do, even though he knows even the end of their story. But he allows that character development to play out. Does that make sense? Okay. No, guys, we got to move on. Save the questions for your small group. Seriously, save them. So these are all of the omnis. There's a few more omnis that people have come up with over time, but these are the omnis that you need to know and you need to believe to as a Christian. We need to know these and believe them. But there's a couple of non-omnis that I want to look at just real quick that will help us make sense of these omnis. And so the first one is that God is eternal.
That was a random scroll.
God is eternal. So Psalm 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is, even before and beyond those things. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, I know what you're thinking, because you're all, like, super smart. Here's what you're thinking, right?
That's what
I'm brilliant.
Didn't God create us to be eternal? Is anybody asking that question? Maybe, maybe not. So what would be the difference between us as eternal beings and God as eternal beings? Here's the difference. Humans are immortal. We have a beginning and we don't have an end. God is infinite. He has no beginning and he has no end. Yeah? Yeah? Tracking?
Great. He created a beginning and end, though.
Of the world. Of, you could say of existence. But he had no. Yes, exactly. In the case of God, infinite would mean never ending. No beginning, no end. No start, no end. That's why you would use that symbol, because there is no start and there is no ending. Save your questions for the small group, please. I know it's mind-blowing. Save them, please. Talk about this in your small group. Last but not least, God is unchanging. Here's what this means. God does not change. Oh, mind blown. I know, it's obvious. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Oh, so clear. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this shows us that though God can do anything, he cannot, because he cannot change, he cannot do anything that would change who he is. So God cannot sin, because scripture tells us that God is perfect holy, and sinless. God cannot leave his grace and mercy and love behind and become something that is other than that, because that is who God is. God cannot break a promise, because that would change something of God. God does not change. He is unchanging. He is bound by who he was said to be in this part of the Bible, to also be that in this part of the Bible, to also be that 1,000 years after the Bible, and to also be that 2,000 years after the Bible. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, he can't change.
Mm-hmm.
The Testament,
yeah. Yes. So there are times where we see in Scripture that our prayer can change a direction that God is moving. And that is something that should really excite you about prayer, and it should blow your mind. But the reason God is able to do that is because he is bound by grace. And most of the time, like, there's an example in, I want to say Deuteronomy, but I'm not sure, where God says, if one person would stand in the gap. No, that can't be Deuteronomy. No, I don't know where that would be. It says, God saying, if one person would cry out to me in the midst of a wicked city, I will relent, I will turn. He did it, we saw that in the book of Jonah. He did it with the people of Nineveh. And it's beyond our comprehension that God can be moving in a direction, but because of his grace, when repentance occurs, he acknowledges it. And, yeah. Del, Amaris, and Grace, and then we're going to close.
So, when the rapture, would that the will be pulled out of existence, or will God be pulled into existence?
Whoa.
What?
When the rapture occurs, will we be pulled out of existence or into existence?
What?
I would say only God is outside of existence. And so when we are with God in heaven, we will be in existence because we are in something he created by him. Only God was and is continually outside of existence because he was even before anything existed. But we will not be, because there will always be something. Okay. Whew, that was a good one.
So, he basically, will still exist, because we'll exist within.
Yes. And exist is the perfect word to use for us.
So,
we will
so, like,
exist.
Nothing will change, except we'll go to heaven instead of.
Yes. Totes. And Amaris. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There, a good example is at the end of Jonah chapter 3. It says God relented. God was moving in one direction and he turned from that. He didn't do it there and then not do it somewhere else that conflicted with his personality. He allowed grace. That is God. God is gracious. He allowed his grace to change the direction he was moving because of genuine repentance or because of prayer. Grace. No. I would say outside of time. God is outside of time. So.
Outside of time.
Yes.
Yes.
So think of time. So physically, time is a dimension. When you get into physics, you'll learn time is a dimension that moves and adjusts things. And God created time. And so God is able to move within and without time, and he is simultaneously outside of time. Last question. No, take it to your small group. Seriously. No. Last question. No, Jared. No. Yeah. No, Jared. Behind you. Yeah, go ahead. No, sorry.
Okay, so
So, the future has not yet occurred. Because time moves. But God is not bound by time. Time is something that he created, and it moves with his creation. God is outside of that thing that he created that is moving. So the future has not yet occurred, but God knows what will occur in the future, because God is all-knowing. Yeah. Yeah. God is... Yes.
How is it not time when he's literally, he said that he's like everywhere?
Yeah.
And he's so technically.
Because remember how saying God does not just exist, but God is? So track with this. The reason the existence thing was so important. Saying God does not just exist, but he is, means that when God reveals himself into existence, there is still so much more of God. God is far more than what is revealed of him in existence. I know, mind-blowing. Take it to your small group, seriously. Let's pray. I know, everybody's mind is blown, and that's perfect. That's just what we want. So, in small groups, talk about the questions you have. If you get to any of these questions, great, but talk about your questions. Let's pray. We're going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that a God who is omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient is on our side. And that we know when we pray to you, we are praying to someone who is outside of time, outside of space, outside of our comprehension, and able to do things above and beyond what we could ever even ask. And so we pray that your might and your power and your ways that are indescribable and beyond our comprehension will strengthen our belief in you and will strengthen our understanding of who you are, even if it is just understanding that you are far more than we could ever understand. We pray that this would help us to rest in you, for you are mighty in a way that is beyond what we can know. We pray that it would help us to trust you, knowing that your understanding is beyond what we even know to be understanding. And we pray that it would give us a passion for you, knowing that we have access to you by Jesus and his sacrifice and by the work that he does, the work that the Holy Spirit does in our heart. And we pray that you would continue to solidify these things in our minds as we go into small group. We give you this time. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.